Sexual orientation and gender identity are now among the protected classes under the City of Bloomington's Affirmative Action Plan, but data collection blockades and personal privacy concerns may render that Affirmative Action Plan's traditional purpose nearly useless, making the policy and the city's existing anti-discrimination policy redundant. WFIU's Regan McCarthy has more.
The city's 2009 Affirmative Action Plan says that in order to follow federal regulations, the plan must ensure members of protected groups, like potential GLBT employees, are treated fairly in the application process. In part, that means identifying what problems those employees may face on the road to a job. Federal guidelines also require the city to detail steps it will take in developing hiring and promotion goals if a disparity becomes apparent. City Human Resources Director Daniel Grunman says that requires a kind of statistical analysis, which is easier in some cases than others.
When you rely on self-disclosure, I mean, sometimes it's obvious. You can tell by looking at me that I have 9 fingers, for example.
Grundman says the city will not likely be keeping account of employees who may identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. That's because of another federally required HR rule, a non-disclosure policy.
One of the challenges you have in an HR department when you're looking at affirmative action and you're coming up with data sheets, the validity and reliability, or I should say the reliability of that data is maybe not so good because we have no way of knowing oftentimes, so that becomes one of the challenges.
Grundman says the city does ask for some demographic information on applications, but only about 25% of prospective employees choose to offer it. And while the federal non-disclosure policy allows Grundman to ask GLBT employees to self-identify as members of a protected minority group, he says keeping count of those few individuals who choose to do so would produce skewed statistics. But Grundman insists he can confirm anecdotally that the city's hiring practices are fair in all cases, including those in which people identifying as GLBT are involved. But Helen Harrell, advisor to the GLBT student group OUT, disagrees, saying she knows of several pending cases under the city's hiring umbrella relating to GLBT discrimination issues.
Once you hire someone, that's just a third of the battle. The rest of the battle is them having to put up with on-the-job harassment daily, with suggestive cartoons, with slander, with property being destroyed. When you think about all the city jobs, it's not like just working down in City Hall behind a desk. You know, there's the maintenance people and all kinds of the engineers and, public works and all those things. And, I do know for a fact, but of course I can't quote any quick cases or anything, that there is discrimination and there are suits filed and people are harassed, they're run out of jobs, or they're not hired.
But without a detailed analysis, City Attorney and Human Rights Commission Director Barbara McKinney says that aspect of the city's 2010 Affirmative Action Plan is, by definition, much the same as policies the city already has in place.
Affirmative action, and Daniel could address this better than I, can get very complicated, and you're studying your workforce and figuring out how to recruit and where you're not doing as well as maybe you could. We've long had a requirement that contractors have an affirmative action plan, but it's really more of a non-discrimination policy, really. The plan has to say, we don't discriminate on these categories, we do fair recruitment. So I think the terms are a little bit loosey-goosey.
So while it seems this year's changes to the city's affirmative action plan make no real policy changes, Harrell says she is always happy to hear of any changes which at least attempt to keep GLBT members of society in mind. For WFIU News, I'm Regan McCarthy.